Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares talks about getting into God's Word.
Get in it every day. Get in the Word every day. Well, I'm busy, Mike. You don't know. I live in Orange County. I'm busy. If you understand the essential nature of the Bible to the Christian life, and you understand how good it will be when we become skilled in it, it's worth the work. You got to make the time.
You know, most of us live a mile a minute. We're constantly pressured to do more, be more, achieve more, and we hate being forced to slow down. Just think how frustrated we get when the Wi-Fi is slow, or when we're stuck in a long line. But today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us that some things can't be rushed. He describes the importance of having daily time in God's Word, and he's also giving us some tips for making the most of our study.
Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, one of the classic texts where the Bible is presented to us as analogous to food. That's good. Food. It really is a great analogy. Because a lot like your biological appetite, you don't always eat as you should. Am I right about that? Because you may have new life in Christ, you've repented of your sins, you put your trust in Christ, you want the Word of God, but unfortunately, we can become poor eaters. We can have a lazy appetite. We can spend more time eating, there's no such thing as junk food, but let's just call it, well, what this passage is called, milk. You just want to eat the easy stuff. Writer of Hebrews points out that problem as he's about to get into a conversation about Melchizedek. Drop down to verse 11. And he's got a lot to say about Melchizedek, but that's the green beans of the Bible there. Melchizedek. Most people skip it. And it's hard to explain to them. They're turning their nose up at it because they become dull of hearing. Do you see that in verse 11? Though by this time you ought to be teachers. But you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Now, God revealed some things, and you just want to stick with the basics. You need milk and not solid food because you're not even fully ingesting all the milk you should get. For everyone who lives on milk, great analogy, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Should feel some level of conviction for some of us here. How skilled, that's a great word, how skilled are you in the word of righteousness? And if you're not skilled in the word of righteousness, well, then here's your description, bottom of verse 13, you're a child. Since you're a child, you're not there yet. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. They can get into the Word, they can discern, they can see it by constant practice. But those who have that, well, then they can distinguish good and evil. They can sort things out. They're the wise people among us because they are skilled in the Word of righteousness. So let me help you first by taking a step way back and asking a very fundamental question about why it's so important for us to get involved in God's Word regularly. Number one on your outline, we need to know why the Bible is essential. And to find our answer, let's go to James chapter 4. I want you to drop down to verse 12. He says, there is only one, first word to circle, lawgiver and judge. He's both lawgiver and judge. He gives the data, and now he holds us accountable for the data. If that's true, see, this book needs to be really important to us. I need to pay attention to what it says. God has revealed himself. He's told us what he requires and expects of us. And to ignore it is not an option for those that believe that God is the lawgiver and judge. Now, some people still use this book and they say they're students of the Bible or preachers of the Bible, but their opinions about all of this is based on what they feel. We got to get past what we feel. You're going to make up your own God, good luck with that. But there is a God who exists. He has revealed himself. I need to adapt my thoughts to the Word. I cannot interpret God in light of my feelings. I need to start interpreting my feelings in light of God's Word. And I got to recognize it's about what God has said, not about what I feel. You got to know that the Bible is essential. Therefore, we have to treat it as essential. And we have to get into it, and we need to work hard at trying to grasp and understand what he has said in the Word. Because the pundits will come and go, the commentators, the preachers, the prophets, the opinionated folks are going to come and go. But as Isaiah 40 says, verse number 8, the Word of the Lord will stand forever. We've got to pay attention to it, and it's important that we do that. Secondly, okay, I know it's essential. I see that. I better pay attention to it. I believe there's a God. He has revealed himself. It's not about what I feel about living life or what I think. I need to let my thoughts be shaped by this book. I need truth to come from this. It is the final arbiter of what is right and wrong, what is true, what God requires, what God expects. Okay, great. Before you get into thinking about a renewed passion for Bible study, I want to, number two, adjust your expectations. You need to adjust your expectations because it will be better than you think and worse than you think. Now, this next little section, I won't spend long on it, but point number two here is going to feel a lot like those weight loss commercials, you know, where Flabby Fred gets on the left side of your screen, and, you know, and they are never smiling in those pictures. I guess they're never happy when they're that fat, but they're like, and they snap the photo. And then the line gets drawn, and little, you know, whatever they're selling, the powder or the disc or the workout program, and then he's over here, and he's, like, transformed. He's got washboard abs, and he's bronzed, and he's tan, and he's happy, and he's, you know, he looks great. And they do it with the flabby girls, too, right? Frumpy gal over here, and then she's in her bikini. It's yellow, and she's, right? Now, here's the thing. We sit back past the Cheez-Its and the remote control. We're watching the commercial, and you kind of have a mixed feeling about all this. But here's the deal. In reality, you don't understand, really, for that person who's gone from frumpy Fred to chiseled, you know, Fred, you don't understand, really, how good that must be for him. I mean, we can kind of imagine it, but how great it would be, really. And then you also don't know how hard it is, right? I mean, we try to imagine, but to live it is tough. So I want to start with the before and after photos. Let me give you the after photo. Turn to Psalm 19. If you become skilled in the word of righteousness, if you learn to rightly handle the word of truth, if it becomes something by constant practice that your mind is bathed in and you really begin to, as the New Testament says, have the word of Christ richly dwell in you, okay? It's going to be good. You're not going to be the same person you are right now. If you step it up, there's a lot of benefits here. Let me just start. Verses 7 through 11 of Psalm 19. Verse 7, the law of the Lord, it's perfect. Now you start getting skilled in a perfect document. And by that I mean, here is God's perfect thoughts on paper. You get deft in handling it. You bathe your mind in it. You start to think the way it thinks. Here's what it's gonna revive the soul. That's what the word of God does. It is reviving to your very person. You're gonna feel differently. The testimony of the Lord, middle of verse 7, is sure. It makes wise the simple. You really get the sure word of God bounce around in your mind. You get to really extract from the word from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible says, people are going to go, that guy's wise. There'll be some wisdom that you never thought you had because you're just going to be reiterating the truth of God's word. And I find that all the time. Sometimes I'll say something, people go, wow, that's ingenious. And I'm thinking, all I'm doing is paraphrasing, you know, a part of scripture. If you get it in your mind, there is wisdom that then will exude from who you are. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord, they're right. They are. They're the way. They're that kind of, that's the New Testament equivalent of teleos. They fit just right. And it is appropriate in every way. Therefore, it rejoices the heart. You're going to say, wow. You're going to have a perspective on things that's right, which is where he goes next. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. And you get that commandment of God in your mind, and it really is bathed in that. Then your eyes are open to all kinds of things. You have clarity on how you view this world like you never have before. Revives the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. Then he says a few more things about it. It's clean, fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, they're righteous altogether. And if that's the case, they're more to be desired than gold. And it's sweeter than honey, it's gonna be good to your life, and the refreshment you get from it's gonna be better than candy. I mean, that's the candy of the day, drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. You're going to stay out of some ditches you wouldn't otherwise stay out of. In keeping them, there is great reward. You're going to find things popping up in your life on the after photo where you're going to say, wow, life is really good now that the Word of God has become a priority, constant use. I'm skilled now in the Word of righteousness. That's a good thing. But like the weight loss commercials, to get from here to here, what you're not seeing is all the work that's involved. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. We're right next door. But Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the very next book in the Bible, makes it clear that if you're going to get this knowledge of God, it's going to be hard. It is going to be a struggle. It is more work than you think it is. Bible study is not easy. It is God's will. Let's put it in the terms of Proverbs. Later in the book, he says, it is God's glory to conceal a matter, and it is a king's glory to extract it or uncover it, to discover it. God has put treasure in the Scripture. If you have turned there, many of you have. I heard the pages turning. He says in verses 1 through 5 of Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, you're straining to hear it and inclining your heart to understanding, I want to get it. Yes, if you call out for insight and you raise your voice for understanding, you got to really want it. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, and that's never just right there on the surface, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, and then you'll find the knowledge of God. I mean, this is going to be work. And speaking of work, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God what's the next word? A what? Workman. And that's not a guy behind a desk with a tie and a leather satchel. The workman, the Greek word he chooses for that is the day laborer, the worker in the field, the guy getting sunburnt with the sore back who's out there picking the harvest. This is hard labor. A workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You want to handle the word. You want to be skilled in the word of righteousness. You want to be trained in constant practice to have your discernment razor sharp. Well, it's going to be hard. Not to mention that we're dealing with an old document, are we not? I mean, this is not written in English and delivered through, you know, the Orange County Register editorial room. This is a 2,000-year-old New Testament written in Koine Greek. That's tough. There's a lot of things about the idioms and the language and the illustrations and the analogies. Some are hard to get. And an Old Testament that dates back to 1445 B.C. through 400 B.C., that's tough. 1,000 years of history there in Hebrew. That's going to take, I mean, there's some historical distance here that we're going to need to bridge. It won't always be easy. So adjust your expectations. It is a great payoff, but it's a lot of work to get there. And then let me say this. No one ever brings this up, but once you get there, it's not going to be everything you thought it was. What? Once you get there, it won't be everything you thought it was. I mean, it is not really the end all. Let me quote this for you. You know it, but if you want to jot it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 12. Paul's talking about how great some things are in the Christian life, and then he says this. He says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. In other words, we don't know everything, and even our prophetic statements and our New Testament epistles, they don't give us the whole picture. And he compares what it's going to be with the difference between childhood and adulthood. He said, when I was a child, I mean, it was all these little things, and then when I became an adult, I put away childish things, and I was mature. And then he says this, we now see God through this glass dimly, but then we'll see him face to face. This is an author of the New Testament saying, even now, this long-distance relationship that is in many ways the information mediated through written documents. Once you get skilled in the word of righteousness, you're still going to say, doesn't totally satisfy. He says, but then we're going to see him face to face. He says, then we're going to know him as fully as he knows us. Now think about that. Does God have any problem understanding you? You don't understand you, but he understands you. Totally. He has no problem with that. But how well do we understand him? What if we master the Bible? How well will you understand him? Well, you understand him better than you understand him now, but you still not understand him the way you're going to understand him a minute after you die. Then you're going to understand him in a whole new way because you're going to see him face to face. And the kind of mediatorial relationship we have through written documents, it's not going to be necessary. It's going to be a different kind of relationship because now we see through a glass dimly. All I'm saying is recognize, I guess it's like saying Frumpy Fred becomes Chiseled Fred. Chiseled Fred still has problems, right? This is not the end all, but it is a lot better than being Frumpy Fred or ignorant Igor. don't know, I was making that up at this point. But you know what I'm saying? Whatever your knowledge of the word is right now, it'll be a lot better if you crank that up a few notches. But in the end, you're still going to have questions that aren't going to be answered. Just to throw it out, Deuteronomy 29:29 is an easy reference to remember. But it says, the secret things belong to the Lord. There's things he didn't tell us. But the things that he's revealed belong to us and our children forever. We got the word of God. That doesn't answer all the questions. You're still going to have nagging questions. I'll do the Q&As all the time. And even though I've worked hard to understand the Bible, I'll get questions. I'll say, the Bible doesn't say. We don't know. And there's stuff that we all want to know that we're never going to be able to fully comprehend from the Bible. But what we'll understand will certainly be worth the work. Number three, if that's the case, now let's get to the heart of what I want to say this morning to you. And that is, the Bible in every way is trying to drive our attention to get into it. Constant use. Get in it every day. Number three, get in it every day. Get in the Word every day. Well, I'm busy, Mike. You don't know. I live in Orange County. I'm busy. Your mother taught you when you were little to brush your teeth. Am I right? Did you do that today? Thought you were a busy Orange County guy. No time for that. Got stuff to do. Got the Wall Street Journal to read. Got to commute. Busy. Mom taught you to shower, bathe, scrub your pits, right? Clean out the crevices of your body and make sure that you are not a stinky ball of mess. Who's got time for that every day? I don't. So when do you bathe? Well, whenever I have time. It's not very often. Once a week, maybe. Really? I bet you find time to bathe almost every day. Brush your teeth. Some of you, twice a day. You floss. It's with all that. You got no time for that. You make time because you know how important it is. If you understand the essential nature of the Bible to the Christian life, and you understand how good it will be when we become skilled in it, it's worth the work. You got to make the time for this. Let me exhort you two things. Number one, I want you to read it through from cover to cover, and when you get to the end, to start over and do it again. Read the whole thing. Don't tell me that you're a Christian and you base your life on the truth of this book and you're not going through it continually. Read the Word of God from cover to cover. This is such a safeguard against so much of the garbage out there that is pawned off in the name of Christianity. All I say, almost, I say it at least, I don't know, once a week, twice a month at least. I'll say, you know, if people read their Bible from cover to cover, they'd never fall for that. I say that all the time. Because I think, here's a guy who's kind of pandering to the appetites of people with a kind of manufactured Christ or a manufactured God, and I say all you'd have to do is to read the Bible a few times through, and you'd see that immediately as a false God. To get the 30,000-foot view of God's revealed word is a safeguard against so much heresy. It'll give you a sense of the whole counsel of God. It is so important. If you don't have time to read your Bible or have a guy read it to you, then turn in your Christian card, seriously, and go find another religion where they don't expect anything from you. Because God expects us to love his word and to read it at the very least, okay? If you're too busy to read the Bible, you're too busy. I'd rather you live under the underpass, right, under the 5 freeway, and have time to read your Bible than be Mr. Hotshot executive or busy, go busy PTA mom and not have time for the Word of God. Read the Bible all the way through. Get in it every day. Secondly, if you're still tolerating anything I'm saying at this point, here's the second one as it relates to getting in it every day. Study. At least one verse a day. One verse a day. Oh, by the way, back to reading. If you get behind, did I already say this? Don't try to catch up. I mean, you try to catch up, but don't worry about getting behind. Please, if by Thursday you said, well, I did it Sunday and I blew off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just read Thursday. Start with that. Make a comment. If you got time, go back. And same with this. Don't say, well, if I didn't do it yesterday, I won't do it today. Just the days that you can. And I would hope that you'd all get skilled in the Word by constant use. You'd be in it every day. Study one verse a day. There's a difference between reading and study. You could pick a verse from what you just read. You're going to read 3 chapters or 2.5 chapters a day. You might want to pick just one verse out of that and study that verse. That'll be harder than what I would probably recommend if you're brand new at this, and that is go to a New Testament epistle and just start working through it a sentence at a time. Take the first sentence and you need to ask three questions. We put them under the titles of, we call it the TAN method, then, always, now. T, then, A, always, N, now. TAN, then, always, now. I don't care what you call it. Anybody who's going to be handling the word accurately or skilled in its handling of the word, they're going to have to move from then to always to now. You cannot go to the Bible and say, what does it mean to me? That's the most ridiculous way to try and study your Bible. Frankly, I don't care what it means to you, okay? What I care is what it means. And what it means is what it's going to mean to the original recipients, what the original author intended. So I'm always going to take a verse. Let's say I start in Colossians. Great book to start in. If you've never studied verse by verse, just start in verse 1, move all the way through the book. You're going to get to some things there that you're going to have to make sure you say, what was this all about then? If you don't and you jump to now, you're going to misunderstand and misinterpret the word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It's going to talk about, you know, don't be taken captive by philosophy. If you take the 21st century definition of philosophy and you pin it on that word, you've just misread the text. Or it'll say, or the elementary principles. And you're going to think, well, if I think about elementary principles, what I think of, you're going to misunderstand the text. And you're going to learn, for instance, that the word philosophy is used in a way that is much broader than a guy with a pipe at the University of California. This is something that had to do with a kind of thinking that was devoid of God. Or elementary principles was actually a Persian concept where they used to talk about astrology and the stars governing our fate. And you're going to begin to recognize, okay, I see what Paul had in mind here and what he was warning the class. Well, how would I ever do that? I guess I have to become a pastor. Big library, you need one book for this. Buy a study Bible. That's what it's all about in a study Bible. The notes in a study Bible are all about trying to, in any time a verse has anything that might have a historical distance, it's trying to say, here's what that means. I guarantee you go to Colossians 2:8, and there's not a study Bible worth its price if it doesn't comment on what philosophy and elementary principles meant in the first century. And every good, the ESV study Bible, whatever study Bible you use, if it's a good, reputable study Bible, use the ESV. That's the text we use here. There's probably 5 or 6 different study Bibles that are based on the ESV text. Start with the ESV study Bible. It's a great one to have. And use the notes. And keep your mind at least for, I don't know, let's just say 10 minutes, thinking through the text in terms of its first century audience.
A great starting point for deeper Bible study from Pastor Mike Fabares, and you're listening to Focal Point. You know, biblical Christianity requires thought and intention. It's easy to say you love God, but actually living out your faith takes work. And one of the first steps is to become a student of God's Word, allowing the Bible to renew our minds and hearts. That's why at Focal Point, we're passionate about equipping you with solid Bible teaching. But we can only fulfill that mission because friends like you stand with us financially. If you're among those who give, or if you'd like to join their ranks today, we're so very grateful. To say thanks for your donation today, we'll send you an insightful book called A Journey to Victorious Praying by Bill Thrasher. I'm sure we've all been through seasons when we committed to be more diligent in prayer, but quickly lost steam. Why is it so easy for prayer to become an afterthought? And how can we change that pattern? If personal effort isn't the solution, what is? Well, Bill Thrasher addresses these questions with practical insight and pastoral warmth, helping us to reignite a deep, abiding passion for prayer. Request your copy of A Journey to Victorious Praying when you donate today by calling 888-320-5885. But tomorrow is the last day to request a copy, so don't wait to get in touch. The phone number once again is 888-320-5885. Or if it's any easier for you, you can donate online at focalpointradio.org. Or if you'd rather mail your donation and request, you can write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And be sure to include a note requesting the book, A Journey to Victorious Praying. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, so glad to have you with us. And be sure to join us next time for more practical advice on making the most of daily Bible study. That's right here Tuesday on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God.
get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.